Everybody, welcome to another And. I'm Andy.
And I am Manders J. Lee here.
Welcome to my room. We're going to watch some old episodes of Conan O'Brien today, some old Conan monologues, and talk about the news and jokes that he's making. But before that, I kind of want to ask Anders his thoughts on what's going on in D.C., because you lived there for quite a while, and it sounds like this is the new flashpoint of Trump's fascist takeover after L.A.
Yes, I am technically a son of the city. I was born in Georgetown Hospital, where I found out after moving back there in my late 20s that you can't just show up at the hospital you were born at and get your birth certificate. I don't know why that's a thing I assumed, but good info to have. You need to go somewhere else. I thought they just had like a records room, but most people who aren't idiots probably can figure that out. But yes, Washington, D.C. is kind of the epicenter of Trump's ascent towards what might be fascism or authoritarianism or whatever you want to call it. This is kind of the site of whatever the next stage or development is, although there are a lot of it is very specific to D.C. So if he gets away with certain things, it'll be because it's D.C. I think that's a pretty big factor. D.C. did not have suffrage, essentially, until the mid-20th century. 1961 was when the Washingtonians were allowed to vote for president. They weren't allowed to do that before that, and then they got electoral votes. And then they didn't get the right to elect their own government until 1973, the 70s, after the Home Rule Act, which is really, I think, what might be at stake here, because it was kind of a grand bargain of sorts for D.C. to have more autonomy and elect a mayor and a city council, but there are also strings attached. The president can decide to intervene in D.C. in a way that they can't with other cities. And we did an episode on Pod Damn America where we go into some more of the specifics. But in the 90s, D.C. didn't control its own finances. It's very subject to federal whims, and the mayor there is really in a jarring way if you compare her to other blue state officials, and that's what people in D.C. by and large want to be, is a state. The way that Gavin Newsom or even Kathy Hochul talk to and about Donald Trump is totally different. In this respect, she's similar to Eric Adams, in that it's not nearly as adversarial as you would expect. She did finally say it's kind of alarming, but at first she was basically co-signing the decision to send in the National Guard and patrol the streets, essentially take over for the Metropolitan Police Department, which itself kind of welcomed it as well. The union for the D.C. police is angry with the city council for basically giving. Now in D.C., if you assault a police officer, and you know, when I say the beginning of that sentence, people might assume that the end is something just totally outlandish and crazy. You get a medal when you assault a police officer, you get a little pin that says Black Lives Matter on it. No, the change they made, the radical, crazy, anarchistic change they made, is if you assault a police officer, you have a jury trial. That's it. And that's enough for the police union. And there's some other little regulations here and there too, but that's enough for the police union to be like, fuck it, send in the National Guard. Trump can do what he wants. So that's a big story to me, is how sort of complacent the city government and city institutions have been in D.C. towards Trump, who is sending in the National Guard. And I think there's probably an understanding too that this is going to pass, because there's a limit to how long he can do it. He's going to try and call it a national emergency, which would extend his authority to have the National Guard there, essentially into perpetuity. But to do that, he has to actually prove that it's an emergency, and the stats are not on his side, because just a couple years ago, the crime rate the petty crime, violent crime rate was higher than it is now. It's not actually increasing. It's just this one guy, Big Balls, that's his name.
Yeah, so I don't know all this context that you're telling me about. I'll have to listen to that Pod Damn America episode. And I also haven't read too much about the Big Balls assault, but from what I saw on Twitter, it's like a very fishy story. And the fact that that guy was involved and like another Doge guy was there to film it made me wonder if this was some part of the, like, you know, the Doge, like, Silicon Valley alt-right plot to make a fascist America in some way. But I don't know exactly how the overturning DC home rule would do that, except I have seen that one of the first things that they're doing is going after homeless people, which is this, like, obviously the Silicon Valley people are obsessed with this.
Right.
They want to sweep homeless people up into concentration camps.
Yes.
They have this whole plan to do it nationwide, and the Supreme Court's already given them basically the right to do so. So I wonder if that's the point here, is to like use the unprecedented power that the federal government can have over DC to model what they want to do everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made for that. I would definitely be more worried about the Doge angle if Elon Musk was still in the administration. But it is possible that, you know, it wouldn't be the first time the federal government has fucked with DC's finances. The Trump has given homeless people in the D.C. area, in Washington, D.C. itself, like a day to leave, essentially. He wants them out. And that could just be kind of his idiosyncrasy and just not wanting to see them in the place where he kind of technically lives right now. As you said, the Supreme Court is letting states and municipalities arrest people for being homeless. I guess we'll get a different version of Alligator Alcatraz, but for just people who aren't undocumented, but just are without a home.
Yeah, it's in the works.
Yeah.
I think it's not Trump's idiosyncrasy at all. And over the last few years, I have heard a lot of professional class people, you know, tech people, business people, just constantly complaining about homeless people in this way that's like, there's no other conclusion to draw from what they're saying other than they want to put these people in prison, because they always connect it to like recidivism laws and no cash bond and all that stuff. And they're like, I don't want to, you know, and the stuff on the subways too, of course, like what side people came down on the Daniel Penny thing was either like, this is a problem that we have to talk about like ways to help these people, and then people are just like, we should kill them. They should die. They make me uncomfortable. I am scared. There's a lot of people that feel that way, you know. Even some leftists kind of were playing into that.
There's been attempts to, I know the in Boston, which has I guess sort of the one of the most progressive mayors in the country, they had a homeless sweep. And they were all, but it was different from like what they're doing in California, where they, you know, basically just bust up the encampment and then don't help anybody. But this was putting them in places to live there. I know there is, people in the homeless, advocacy community have, raised issues with that though, because people don't know is necessarily, sometimes people are homeless by choice, right? And, you can't make somebody go somewhere else and live somewhere else. So it is a tricky sort of thing to navigate. But I think in a lot of cases, they do want a place to live. But very eye-popping to me is there was that article, this is from the past year or so, about the guy in New England who lives in his car and had been a writer but had...
That was a great article.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the takeaways for me from that is there's less than a million homeless people in total in America, which was shocking to me. I thought it was just much higher based on the amount of people who the people talk about it.
It actually probably is much higher, because those numbers I believe are based on counts, like these kind of head counts that NGOs do. And those counts are, they're accurate in the sense that like a pretty good, they have like a sort of standard number that they get to that like is, you know, within, you know, they'll go down the streets and they'll be like, there's a homeless person. There's a tent. There's no one in there, but that's a homeless person. There's a car with a bunch of stuff in it. It looks like someone's living with it. We'll count that.
Uh-huh.
And so they're able to make a sort of semi-scientific estimation that way. But it's a lot of people have said that even though these numbers are like a good standard of like how it's increasing or decreasing, it doesn't tell you the actual number to any degree. And I think, homelessness obviously is just going to increases in times of, you know, inflation and bad economy. And so it's going to keep increasing. And I think the new policy for the Republicans and the Democrats, because Gavin Newsom is kind of in lockstep with Trump on this, is to treat them as surplus population that needs to be gotten rid of.
Yeah. And Newsom, who's like been fighting with Trump over National Guard authority stuff, which, you know, that's another thing that's being put to the test in D.C. is how much authority does Trump have over the National Guard? Because it's, I believe, in D.C. he has, if not all, most of the authority. It's supposed to be joint between state and federal, but D.C. is not a state, obviously. Newsom has been tugging back and forth with California's National Guard. I had a friend in Canada DM me today about, like, what the hell are you going to do? He was asking me when Zohran becomes mayor, because Trump wants to, has said that he wants to take over New York City, not just the police force, but just the goings-on of the city itself. And obviously he's talked about deporting Zohran and stuff like that, but yeah, I don't, you know, I was a little skeptical that it's going to come to that. I think he's definitely going to ramp up ICE raids here.
Well, the way he talks about it, it seems like he's less interested in the deportation stuff, which we haven't heard a lot about in the last 2 months. And he's way more interested in like just seeing how much power he can exert on New York City on a federal level by withholding funding. Yeah. Doing more federal police things.
Yeah.
So yeah, DC could be like sort of the test case for that. I think that's pretty likely.
Right. And a big reason why Bowser is being so sheepish, that's the mayor, Bowser, is that I said this on the other show that I think there's going to be a Trump animation of him as Mario fighting the Bowser, but it's with her face.
That's almost definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try to turn on this ring light because we're doing video. I have this ring light.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I had a hit of weed. But, the Home Rule Act could be repealed. That is something Republicans have played with. They mention that every now and again. I think that's during the last push for statehood, which was not a serious push. Biden did not really introduce anything to that effect or try to rally to make it happen. But that, you know, whenever a Democratic president is elected, that is a conversation for like 2 seconds, and the Republicans responded by raising the question of should DC have any autonomy in the first place. And that is something, if they wanted to take it away, now would be a good time to do so. So Bowser is just kind of like just trying not to be noticed, essentially, because they don't want to, you know, lose their rights. And there's also the looming stadium deal happening in D.C. The Washington Commanders, who have been playing in Landover, Maryland for years, which is not my favorite place.
Oh, look at that.
But, yeah, it'll look bad.
It looks much better. Other light.
There's a deal on the table that got federal approval for it to go forward. And Trump could potentially take it away.
If they don't rename the team?
Yes, he's threatened that.
Oh, my God.
He's actually said that. And I think that's, I'm pretty sure Bowser was at the press conference where he said that, and she just had to be like, but that would be a pretty funny way to spike it. But because that's the hope of the city right now is they've been devastated by the cuts by Doge. So to get the economy going again locally, you need a big stadium that's also going to be a larger like campus. It's called like there's going to be shops and stuff as there is now on the waterfront, which is actually, you know, I'll admit it's pretty, but it's you kind of have to have disposable income to do anything there. But they're going to expand that with this new stadium. There's not really much of many good options. I know there is, DSA is now running a city council candidate in the ward I used to live in. So that's somewhat exciting, but they've had trouble too with actually somewhat related to this issue. There's now one DSA member on the city council, Janice Lewis George, and they had another one, Zachary Parker. He was elected as a DSA guy, and then he just like totally reversed himself. And I know at least with juvenile detention, he was like, "Oh, never mind. I actually support that, and I'm for that." And that's a big thing that and this could be template for nationwide as well, is trying children as adults, people who young as 14.
Well, there is a long history of that in DC, as I learned in the book Locking Up Our Own.
Yes, James Forman Jr., which is a great case study of DC.
Highly recommend that. Of progressive politicians becoming law on order as a progressive issue.
Yeah.
Black progressive politicians.
Sometimes black nationalists.
All right. Thank you for that DC update. Now we're going to have a little bit of fun, maybe. We're going to watch some old Conan monologues and listen to his jokes and talk about the topics and see how they hold up. And, you know, we love Conan, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I think Conan was probably changed my life in a way that, like, you could really say, like, punk did, or, like, you know, Crime Think or whatever. Huh. It's just, you know, watching late night, it was just so subversive and weird and funny. And yeah, so it's sort of like The Simpsons. Like, it was just funny in this way that nothing else was.
Yes.
And it just really made me a cynical, ironic, fucked up person, maybe. So let's see how it holds up.
Yeah.
Let's start with. Oh, but you talk about your history with Conan first before we get going.
Well, yeah, I obviously have a resemblance to Conan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. At least when my hair is a little longer. I used to play basketball in my neighborhood in St. Paul, and the kids would call me Conan.
There he is. There's Conan.
Yeah. And there was a guy who would pretend to be Max Weinberg, and these Somali kids watched Conan back in the day, and I would do a little dance with them. But huge influence on humor. I would add, he's like, it really captured the feeling of every night when you turned him on, hanging out with a friend, you know, and you're stoned and you're goofing around and you're having so much fun. And rewatching this really made me appreciate, and I think this is part of the reason why The Tonight Show didn't really gel very well with Conan. It's not the jokes themselves, some of them are pretty good, but for the most part, it's just his delivery of them and what he does between the jokes that's really funny. That's where Conan is hilarious. When it comes to telling the jokes, it's good, right? I'm not gonna trash his writers, but it definitely didn't translate to the more of a prime time slot. And where he's good is letting people in on the joke, being a part of something, like you're telling a funny story with somebody, and the story keeps having parts added to it. You hear more and more about it. That would happen with, he looked like the president of Finland, and that became him visiting Finland. Yeah. They would have all those kinds of gags. And this is something that took Conan a very long time to achieve, is this level of funny, because when he started, he had been a writer for National Lampoon and The Simpsons, but did not have that much of a performance background. So it took him a while to really find his groove.
Yeah, it seems like he found it through being self-deprecating and through being like, this show sucks. Yeah. I don't know why you're watching. I look weird. All of our bits are really stupid.
Yes.
And just him keep doing that. Because like compare that to Jimmy Fallon or, you know, anyone else who's just like, look at me. I'm the greatest man in the world and I'm so funny. And then the lame jokes just are that much lamer because it's coming from someone like that. But all right, let's listen to some Conan. All right, this is from, we're going to try to do this in chronological order. We picked out a few monologues to listen to. This is from July 31st, 1997. What do you think he'd be talking about in 1997?
Before Lewinsky.
Before, this is before the incessant Clinton blowjob jokes. Yeah. That was just like every late night monologue.
Right. I guess about how Clinton plays the saxophone. Yeah. That was how Bob. Yeah, yeah.
We got a,
Friends. I think we're going to talk about Friends.
We got some really cool guests on the program. Legitimate big time guests tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Andy Richter.
You must have called in some debts or something.
Yeah, I did. Tonight we got a very cool show for you, and I'm thrilled. I got the latest out of Washington. You want to hear this, don't you? Just pretend you do.
So, by the way, sorry about the audio quality. We are playing this through a VHS. I've hooked my VHS up to the computer.
They said it couldn't be done.
I got big news. Yesterday, this is a huge story. Yesterday, Paula Jones' lawyer subpoenaed a woman.
Oh.
He says that President Clinton not once pre-Lewinsky propositioned in the White House.
Wait, can you believe is this about Lewinsky?
Whoa.
Is this like he's breaking the Lewinsky news? That has to be what it is.
Wait, but he said Paula Jones said Clinton propositioned her? Paula Jones?
A tape of a woman who he said Clinton propositions. That's Lewinsky.
Wow. Well,
that's the Lewinsky tape.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That? Yeah. And the weird thing is, it's Hillary. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was kind of odd.
All right, it's a Hillary is ugly joke, which is very common at the time.
Yeah.
People like to hate on Hillary.
Right. And this, as Rush Limbaugh will learn the hard way, who had his own, it was kind of like the anti-Conan. He had a cable show. I think it was on cable, and it was a late show format. He told a joke about Chelsea Clinton being ugly, and it all over the place. It was Hillary, 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 Hillary's ugly, Hillary's a man, Hillary's, you know, on the warpath. When you talked about Chelsea, then you got in trouble. So there was like an understanding you couldn't go there. But Hillary was fair game, definitely.
That's weird. I have corn in here right now. That's more interesting to me than the first joke. I've got corn in here. Big story, celebrity story. Anna Nicole Smith's boyfriend is being charged with smuggling heroin. That's true, yeah. That's right, yeah. And prosecutors say he'll be in prison so long that when he gets out, she'll be really interested in him. So, yeah.
So maybe this was like post that guy dying and Anna Nicole.
I guess so, yeah.
Rest in peace.
That's true.
It's interesting that we still know about Anna Nicole like 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's still kind of idolized as like the bimbo queen.
I mean, she is, I've heard, is kind of a gay icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so much corn in here. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's part of your contract. 15 years of boiled corn for every show.
You must carry corn during the monologue. Tomorrow, big story. This is actually one of those sweet stories. It's not a big story, but tomorrow, the last original employee of Disneyland is retiring after working at the theme park for 42 years. Isn't that cool? That's right. It's sweet. Yeah. And when asked what he's gonna do now, he said, "I'm going to Disney World." Which I was really retarded.
Whoa! For a second, I thought, "Oh, that's a clunker. They're not all gonna be relevant." But then. He just said that for no reason.
1997. He's. I mean,
at Disneyland. That's just stupid. And then finally, I'll find more food in my mouth before we're done. Finally, last thing.
Doesn't this seem like This so with him and Andy Richter Stanley, it's like you are doing a project for science class or something. And this won't maybe not be relatable to everybody, but if you were not a great student, I'm like giving a project and you and your friend, you clearly haven't, you know, you don't know what you're talking. You're winging it, but it's funny and you're making people laugh. They're he's supposed to be delivering these jokes, which is, you know, you're supposed to try and be funny, but again, like you said, he's not trying. He's
it's just like the dumb kids, half-assing their way through something.
Right. And that's why it's
which was charming then, you know,
right.
Even when jocks I didn't like did that, I liked it. Uh-huh. It's like, it's funny that you're taking the piss out of this entire thing because you're so dumb.
Right.
The maker of Ballpark Franks has had to recall 90,000 packages of their hot dogs. That really happened. Yeah. And a spokesperson for the company said, "We had to recall them. We left out the cow gonads. So we had no choice." That's the best part.
Cow gonads. Cow testicles.
Oh, gonads. Okay. I thought you said cow gonads. There it goes.
Wait, it's not corn. It's cow gonads. It brings it all together in the end. All right. Let's talk about tonight's show. We're really thrilled. We have a huge star with us.
We'll just hear the guests and move on.
That's right, folks. Kevin Bacon is on.
All right.
Isn't that cool?
We love Kevin Bacon.
He's a big deal in 1997.
We looked it up. We also have a conservative political analyst, a very fascinating woman, Laura Ingraham, is on the
Boy, we gotta watch that interview.
Yeah.
That's where she learned the word retarded.
I'll screw it up. And then musical guest Ricky Lee Jones. Very cool to have.
Don't know who Ricky Lee Jones is. All right. That was good. That was a great start.
Right. Yeah, him. It's good we're not watching 1993 Conan monologue, because that would be, it would be all of that, but without the charm.
What kind of slurs would he be using?
In 1993. Probably be saying Buttafuoco quite a bit. A lot of those jokes were about that.
All right. Here we are at 11/11/99. November 11. Make a wish. And he seems to be maybe on the road for this one. He's got like the Bob's Donuts and El Cholo Spanish Cafe.
I think he's
behind him. Yeah, which is was this the donut shop that was like in the background of all those L.A. riot pics from way back in?
Oh, maybe.
Remember that?
Yeah, this. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Meanwhile, a spokesman for the rest of the country said if Kathy Lee gets another life, they don't want to come back. And I thought,
oh, it's Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee.
I got her.
Who is not my mom, just for clarification.
I took a brave stand by going after her. Now,
well, see, okay, so this is, and this is relevant to the joke that comes after this. I'm remembering now how many of his jokes, and this was true in not the 90s and remained true for another like 10 years, basically. How many of the jokes are about women? And Conan would often get uncomfortable with that and make a joke. In this way, it was sort of self-deprecation of the sort we're talking about earlier, where he's like, yeah, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. And I'm sorry, but I like have to. I'm stuck here, and I have to say, make these jokes about, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt or Cher, or and he had this little dance. Maybe it's going to come up later where he had the little song,
the string dance.
Yeah, which is it? And is that the one where the words are? Because I remember the string dance, but I can't remember if it's connected to. I'm gonna go to hell when I die.
Maybe that's a different dance.
Okay.
Let's talk about Al Gore for a minute. Al Gore is in some trouble. Got to mention this. Al Gore is coming under heavy criticism because his advisor, Naomi Wolf, is in favor of teaching masturbation and promoting oral sex.
Back when Naomi Wolf was based, I guess.
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. In her lib phase.
And as a result, that's right. As a result, President Clinton said he's withdrawing his support for Al Gore and will now campaign for Naomi Wolf. That's
something you can... By the way, I don't know if you noticed in the Anders fan section of your Discord, but I was trying to make a version of, if it's Klein, you're fine. If it's Wolf, oh baby, oof. You know?
Oh, that's good.
The rule of thumb for Naomi's.
Uh-huh.
And I want to make one for Naomi Caravani.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think of like a comparable Naomi comedian who's famous or bad.
Well, I can tell you the joke I got her to make, because I encouraged her to make a tweet about Doppelganger, which is about Naomi Klein's book about being confused with Naomi Wolf, which disappointingly apparently is not the premise for most of the book, which I thought that was going to be all of it. And apparently it's about social media or some shit. Right. But Naomi Caravani.
Your girlfriend.
Yes, my girlfriend, who is my girlfriend. She made a joke that she often gets confused with Naomi Campbell, who's a model.
So if it's, so the rule of thumb for Naomi, if it's Caravani,
oh mommy.
If it's Caravani, oh mommy.
Uh-huh.
If it's Campbell,
a little Freudian there.
You
don't, too hot to handle.
No, it has to be bad.
That's too hot to handle.
Yeah, but that's too,
that
sounds
can be a bad
good.
Thing.
That's like that's your problem. If she's right. too hot to handle. That's your. If it's Campbell, that's all a bunch of bull.
Candle book. Blow out the candle.
If it's Campbell, blow out the candle.
There we go.
I made one for you, by the way.
Yeah, you just said it.
No, I made one.
Oh,
for,
you did
for Anders Lee.
Oh yeah.
Let's if it's it. Anders Lee, it's fine by me. If it's Anders Home. It's time to go home.
Ah, very
good. I originally wanted, the one that came most natural was if it's Anders Breivik, oh baby ick. But that's a little bit, that's like a little bit too soft for
the
man who murdered 40 socialists for no reason.
Right.
He was a Nazi and now that was beloved by the Trump administration.
Well, in Norway, that's actually the punishment is you just have somebody stare at you and go, ick.
Yeah. Someone makes a mean poem about you.
Right.
As you all know, we're applauding that is sad. as you all know, we're in Los Angeles this week. We're very excited about it. And I noticed a lot of people in this town get plastic surgery. They do. So I decided I should get some, too. I thought I should get some. So we all know here's the way.
Should we watch this? I mean, we're like, it's probably going to be more visual than audio. So we should probably move on. That was 99. That was fun.
Yeah. Naomi Klein. She was Al Gore's image consultant, in case people don't remember, which maybe set her on the path of craziness. She was, yeah, she would write decent stuff in the 2000s, right? Or was she always kind
of
nuts?
I think she was always kind of nuts, but yeah, it was, it kept going.
Yeah. Well, she this week tweeted about the Zohran campaign and the how good the videos are. And she was like, shouldn't you disclose that your mom is actually making these videos, Mira Nair? And a very high compliment to our friend Donald Bornstein and others who are working on the videos for that.
Why would he have to disclose? What would the point of disclosing it be?
Giving her credit. IMDb page needs attention.
Oh, so it's like a feminist thing?
I don't know. I think it was like it's an unfair advantage to have a filmmaker mom. Which is, man, her Time Machine tweet.
That was incredible.
Sorry. Yeah.
And it was amazing to reverse engineer it because it's like, oh, she was listening to someone talk about the Apple Time Machine, which is like a software that saves your stuff on the cloud. And she's like, Apple is making a time machine that's going to put us all into clouds.
What happened? Like, how? How did somebody, trying to make Al Gore sexy will do something to your brain. It's that difficult that you will get brain damage.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's clients, fine. That's what I say.
not to say she's above criticism.
Let's jump to October 17, 2001.
Oof.
So I quickly checked out the first post 9/11 monologue, and it was not funny. But this is a couple weeks later. Comedy is legal again.
It's a very, very, very good show tonight. Fantastic show this evening, and I'm going to start off the show with some really good news, actually, that that hits home for us. Really good news. You all want to hear some good news, right? These days, it's... You want...
Good news.
So much depressing stuff out there, and I'm going to start off with something nice. Earlier today, true story, New York's Department of Health made an announcement. They said that the anthrax situation in this building has been contained and that NBC employees are no longer at risk. Isn't that...
All right. I mean, that's just crazy right off the bat. Good news. The anthrax situation is contained. Like, that's not the joke, but that would be a hilarious...
Great setup.
Like, good news, everybody. The anthrax situation in this building is contained.
Yeah, in this specific building. I guess they were they testing everywhere in New York and D.C.?
No, I think it was, remember there was these mysterious anthrax envelopes sent out, and some of them were sent to, like, politicians. I think something was sent to Tom Brokaw.
Oh, okay, that's
or,
right.
You know,
okay.
I think that was who was on NBC at the time. And also clearly falsely blaming Muslims. It was like a false flag. No one knows really what was going on there, but it appeared to have originated from the Pentagon or something. The anthrax, like, was stolen from the Pentagon, and no one really knows who sent it out.
Yeah. We still never got to the bottom of that, huh?
We have not.
Nice. I thought that was good.
Hey folks, Sean KB here. Just a reminder that our show relies on your support. So if you enjoy what we do and you want to hear more excellent bonus content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/theantifada. It's cheap, there's a ton of content, and it would mean everything to us. So thank you, and we'll see you behind the paywall.